Blog Talk Radio.
That nigga slutter smut, the riders when they on Facebook. Kept them slipping at these rallies and they act real shook. 24-7 on the grind, my comrades putting it work. New generation, the Panther organizing the turn. Deal with the brothers on the block, cause we the last ones that they got. Beat the people, bang on cops, political air and break the law. Couple cops for the masses, build community defense. While these bootlicking bougie ass niggas ride the fence. Unused to us, a booster, ain't no half-ends to the movement. I got elders and soldiers, fuck, still dedicated to it. It's a lifetime commitment, black riders gon' represent it. Flipping the tribalism with our OG locked in prison. But thanks to General Top, sympathizing with the block. And nobody gave a fuck, they assassinated Pop. Like they assassinated Malcolm, set him up to see Obama. But we coming for revenge, and I put that on my mama.
Like they wanna end police brutality.
But how you gonna do that if you got no blood to bleed? And the same sense of niggas say they wanna be free. But how you gonna do that if you got no blood to bleed? No blood to bleed, niggas sweat and keep the G. But how you gonna do that if you got no blood to bleed? You can try to poke a hole in Black Rider philosophy, but you never do that, cause you got no blood to bleed. No blood to bleed. I'm a rise to the day I'm buried, to go out in a burst of flames. My business as a revolutionary, I'm the last of a dying breed. Pray to God I live long enough to teach my seed, fulfilling my legacy. Ride on the enemy, I'm peak when they plot, but they more kept zipping niggas and start to kill on my block. These cowards fake as fuck, they rat you out to the cops, smile at your face, but these niggas got me twisted like lies with love. Well, fake niggas I can't fuck with, niggas are shady nowadays, so be careful who you rhyme with. Precision shots, only thing my guns fit. Niggas be working for the state so they can less of they hit. Not every government agent wears a gun on his hip. Strategically placed cooperatives to roam in the midst. Gotta learn from my mistakes, separate the real from the fake. It's the reason why these bougie try to leave your niggas safe.
People say they wanna end police brutality,
but how you gonna do that if you got no blood to bleed? In the same sense of niggas say they wanna be free. But how you gonna do that if you got no blood to bleed? No blood to bleed, niggas sweat and keep the G. But how you gonna do that if you got no blood to bleed? You can try to poke a hole in Black Rider philosophy, but you never do that, cause you got no blood to bleed. No blood to bleed.
I'm a straight rider, you don't wanna fuck with me. Got the police busting at me, but they can't do nothing to me.
Motherfuckers, the
power, black power, black power, all power to the people. This is General Taco representing the Black Rider, the new generation, Black Panther Party for self-defense. Much respect and love goes out to all the black people listening in. This is our survival class radio show, our second one, where we pushing the line for the absolute liberation and salvation nation. We push on self-defense to the fullest. We represent an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a head for a head, and a life for a life. Why is this necessary today? Because we as black people are facing extermination and genocide from the evil, foul clutches of white supremacy, capitalism, imperialism, and fascism. This is our Black August show, where we push it to commemorate the bloody month of resistance to oppression and white supremacy and capitalism, which is Black August. So much took place that brought about the need to commemorate this month, Black August. Before we get into that, we want to take a brief moment of silence and acknowledge the brutal murder that went down in Oakland with Nia Wilson, a white supremacist dog, slit her throat, stabbed up her family member. And this is why we push for the absolute liberation and salvation of the black nation. So let's take a brief moment of silence for all those who've been brutally murdered by the white supremacy dogs. All power to the people. So today is the beginning of Black August. It all came about in 1979. But before that time, there was a long history of resistance to the brutal, foul, scandalous concentration camp system, which the evil demons call the prison industrial complex or the prison system. We must look deeply into that and understand the true nature of crime and racist America. You see, all those laws they got on them books, the demons, the dogs, the crackers, the peck of wood, broke every one of those damn laws to establish America. Brutal, slavery, robbing, murdering, all to establish the wicked nation of racist America. Our people, black people, their will, put them on the bottom of them slave ships and drug over here to pick cotton for the scandalous white supremacists. You must understand that. So when we think about crime, everything the evil demons did, they legitimized it as law. They made it legal. Slavery. Chattel slavery was outright legal. So to jump the gate, to resist the slave master, it was deemed illegal. You would face brutal punishments, whipping, being tarred and feathered, in every form of vicious, brutal degradation that could be heaped on the people was done to us as black people. So we must look into this deeply. We must understand what's really going on with us today, trapped in racist America. Let's get into Black August. Resisted with a violent rebellion. He resisted the slave master. He mobilized the slaves to go against the evil demon. And he smoked, he murked, and killed 61 racist white crackers in the need to achieve the true true liberation and salvation of the black nation. But he was captured. So demons cut off his ear, chopped him in pieces, and kept the pieces as souvenirs. Some of the white store owners took pieces of his body and hung them in their window. Put his ears, his nose, his lips inside a jar and hung them in their window. So we must understand the true nature that run racist America so we can understand the need to commemorate Black August. Black August still from back in the 60s when Huey P. Newton and Bobby Seale created the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense in 1966. And they began to see what was really going on in this country. They set about creating a revolutionary political organization, a vanguard force to push against the evil demons that bring about true revolution and independence and African liberation. One of the first things they did was get guns legally, and they began to patrol the bootleg police, the vicious demons who come into our community infested with nothing but domination, control on their mind. They don't protect and serve. They only patrol and control. And they're the front line for the rest of the racist U.S. government. You must understand, when Huey P. Newton and Bobby Seale began to push and patrol the racist police to make sure they didn't brutalize and harm our people, they was locked and loaded with shotguns, M1s and shit, choppers, and began to stand up against the brute beast police, the pigs. This was very dangerous. It took a whole lot of courage, a whole lot of heart to go against the brute beast police. Why is this so? Because these demons, for as long as we've been here, since their creation, as the patty rollers from back in the day during chattel slavery, we try to jump the gate. When we try to get away from the plantation, these demon dogs will sit to hunt us down and bring us back, or outright murder us for having the audacity to run away and bone out. This is the true history of the brute beast police. So when Huey P. Newton and Bobby Seale began to patrol these pigs, it was a dangerous thing to do. They was known for brutally, viciously gunning down unarmed black men. Yes, in the 60s, it was going down. Same as is going down today with these brute beast police, these pigs who come into our community with nothing but murder on their mind, nothing but a bunch of bloodthirsty dogs. And so when Huey P. Newton and Bobby Seale created the Black Panther Party, they start pushing against these demons. But lo and behold, even though the patrols are successful, they end up setting Huey P. Newton up one night, which resulted into a shootout with the pigs. And he murdered one and shot the other one in an act of self-defense for the absolute liberation and salvation of the black nation. Huey P. Newton was sent to jail. He became one of the most known first political prisoners, those who began to push in a political fashion and was incarcerated and captured for their political beliefs, their political action against the racist U.S. government and the boot beast police. You must understand that deeply. Huey P. Newton was facing the gas chamber. He was about to get an L all day, a life sentence for standing up for black people and creating the Black Panther Party for self-defense. So the demons despised him. They wanted him off the street. They wanted him dead. They wanted to fill his lungs full of poisonous gas for standing up for black people. So it took a lot of courage, a lot of heart to push that type of line. He knew and refused to back down, even though the demons were trying to hit him with gas. So they ultimately convicted him, and he was sent to St. Louis, Pittsburgh prison. But while there, he had got a letter from a brother, a strong, powerful warrior named George Jackson, Short Jackson was in the pen before Huey got there. He had been sent to jail in the early 1960s and given 1 year to life for a $70 robbery at a gas station. The Demon Dogs gave him 1 year to life for a $70 robbery. But even before that, George Jackson was known to get into it with the pigs. He had recognized early, before he even came into true political consciousness, the foul, evil system has been continuously dominating us as black people. His family moved him from Chicago out of Watson, L.A. And just like other young black men who were poor, forced at the bottom of racist America with a need to survive, a need to shake off the hunger and the pain. And because he lacked political education, the true racist enemy in its full extent, then he got thought up, tricked, and bamboozled by the evil oppressor, and began to hit licks, hit robbery, trying to survive, trying to eat, because the demons of white supremacy had robbed them. They robbed us as a people. We must understand that. They robbed us of our language, robbed us of our God, robbed us of every sense of being. So when George Jackson got caught up and sent to prison for 1 year to life, the demons had total sway over his life. He was to sit in prison for 1 year or more. And based on his actions in prison, would determine if he got a full life sentence or not. So any small, irrelevant, frivolous discretion could cost him his life. But yet and still, coming from a banged out background like George Jackson was, he was a part of the Capone gang. But once he began to get political consciousness, once he was being taught by a strong brother named W.L. Nolan about who the real racist enemy was, he began to see the true standing of racist America that has dogged us out for oh so long as a people. No other people on the planet have experienced such a Holocaust. Or as Khalid Muhammad used to say, we pay a hell of a cost. No other group of people have faced the massacre, the lynching, the brutal assassinations as our people. So he began to learn what our true history was, to learn how the Europeans went up in Africa and stole everything, including us, and reduced us to servitude, dehumanized us, forced us into a subhuman position. We was nothing but commodities to be sold on the auction block, to be stripped butt naked and sold like a bag of sugar, like a goat. So we must understand that as a people, that these demon dogs still look at us subhuman. So George Jackson, understanding that and learning that from his mentor, W.L. Nolan, he began to organize the Capone gang into the Wolf Pack. The Wolf Pack was to defend against any racist assault, whether it was from the peck of wood that was inside of the pen, the Mexicans, or the prison administration. This was in the early 60s, way before the creation of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense in 1966. He had been organizing and mobilizing. So it moved his heart deeply when he learned about the Black Panthers being created by Huey P. Newton and Bobby Seale. He looked up to them. He admired them. But at the same time, he had already been pushing. So he was loving it. So that's why he sent that letter to Huey P. Newton. And when he sent that letter, he asked Field Marshal of the Black Panther Party for self-defense. And Huey P. Newton, knowing his brother's history, listening to the prison grapevine, hearing the brothers on the yard talk about the strength of Jordan Jackson, of course, D.P. Newton acknowledged it and gave him the ring. So we must understand what was going on at that time in the prison system in California. Jordan Jackson had moved to create the Wolfpack into the Black Gorilla family, the BGF. And they became connected with the Black Panther Party for self-defense, and they began to move against the real racist enemy. They had filed plenty of grievances, filed conditions that they lived in the prison system, in the concentration camp system. So they began to organize work stoppages, strikes against the foul, scandalous conditions when we were forced to work for the prison administration for 10 or 20 cents an hour. I'm talking about some of the most hideous foul workload was put on us, and we was only paid 10, 20 cents an hour. So George Jackson began to recognize who was modern slavery based on the 13th Amendment. But what is the 13th Amendment? It says that commits the crime should be put in servitude and put in slavery. This 13th Amendment is still on their books today, and this is what they push it. See, after the fake signing of the Emancipation Proclamation by lying-ass Abraham Lincoln, we as a people thought we were free. But in true reality, slavery only changed form. It went to mental slavery. It went to prison slavery. And it went to economic slavery. So we as a people have never, ever been free within this racist country. And we must understand that. And that's what George Jackson learned. That's what Huey P. Newton learned. And that's why they formed an organization that was designed to bring about revolution, to bring about Africans on the planet. They began to push hard to change the foul prison conditions. So W.L. Nolan was set up by the prison guard. He was put on a yard with a gang of Nazis, the same type of Nazis that just viciously slit the throat of Nia Wilson. Those same type of Nazis was deep. He was put on a yard with no backup, with just three brothers against like 20 of the Peckerwood. And guess what happened when the fight broke out? Even though it was like three brothers, they still was whooping ass. So the pigs was mad at that. They thought they was going to get an easy kill, not knowing W.L. Nolan was a former Golden Glove boxing champion. George Jackson, who he had studied with, brought Kung Fu called Kung Pong, and they mended and blended the styles and began to teach brothers inside of prison, using that to politically awaken them, using the Kung Fu, using the martial arts, using the karate, which is empty hands, since there was no guns in there. And they began to train brothers. So the race and prison administration didn't understand how a couple brothers would whoop all them damn Nazis' ass easily. So they got upset. And from a tower 30 feet above his head, they shot Nolan in his head. And only a ricochet bullet hit a Nazi, which proved it was a brutal assassination to remove W.L. Nolan's leadership. George Jackson was upset. He wasn't there. So later on that night, a pig got caught slipping and threw off the tier. Three tiers high, the pig fell all the way to the ground. And when he hit the ground, he had a damn note tied to his chest. And it said, "One down, 10 to go, motherfucker." The pig was upset. Immediately, they felt that George Jackson did it. Freedom Drum Guard, John Clutchett, all of these brothers became well-known political prisoners for the murder of that pig. We must understand what really happened to bring about Black August. It's this true rotterism that brought about Black August. So George Jackson and the rest of them became a Solidar brother. It was a big issue back in the late 60s. So on the street, George Jackson had a little brother named Jonathan Jackson, who had always went up to the prison to visit George up in Soledad. And George began to politically educate him on the true nature of guerrilla warfare, on the true nature of what happened with our people. So Jonathan Jackson had joined the Black Panther Party in Southern California, in L.A., with Bunchy Carter, John Huggins, Erica Huggins, Elaine Brand, and he was pushing the line. Jonathan Jackson ran up on Angela Davis' bodyguard, because Angela Davis was known at that time. She had been a professor at UCLA College. And she had been known for pushing a revolutionary line so much that the racist governor, which was Reagan at that time, tried to suspend her from her job and get her booted out her professor position up in UCLA. So Jonathan Jackson had figured the sister was down. So to get to her, he pushed past her big-ass bodyguard just so he can get support for his brother's case, for the Soledad brother's case. And the Davis, being shocked that this young 16-year-old boy had pushed past her 30-year-old bodyguard easily to speak to her, decided to listen to him, decided to see what was really going on with the Soledad brother. She had already been working with Bunchy Carter and John Huggins, so they connected, and she began to visit George Jackson to see what was really going on. She began to speak out against prison conditions, the concentration camp. But before we get into that story, that history, let's go into the major key points of what Black August represents and how it has represented and commemorated resistance since 1979. Some of the key principles is we must embrace the principles of communion, unity, self-sacrifice, political education, physical training, and determined resistance. There's a fast from sunrise to sunset. It is designed to bring unity to Black prisoners and education and awareness to people on the streets like family members, friends, associates, and other communities about the foul conditions that Black people face in the concentration camp system. It is designed to educate our people and honor the history and actions of the continual oral resistance that Black people have played since we've been trapped in this racist country, and how we've always filled their gap, how we've always defended ourselves against the brutal assault wrought by white supremacy, capitalism, imperialism, and fascism. And so during that time, there were plenty of other political prisoners still down today, and that's why we must free these brothers, free these sisters. Let's start off and name a few of them. We need to free Mamie Abu-Jamal. We need to free Mutulu Shakur. We need to free Russell Maroon Show. Free Russell McGee. Free Romaine Chip Fitzgerald. Free Jamil Muta King. Free Jamil Alameen, which is A-Rab Brown. Free all Black water political prisoners, like Captain Lahoon Roe, who been smashing out of Virginia. So this is how we pushing as Black water, the new generation, Black Panther Party, for self-defense. Let's get into the history of what happened with the Soledad brother. So Jonathan Jackson was trying to set his brother up, decided to commit a bold rebellious act against the real racist enemy. He walked into Marin County Courthouse where a few of George Jackson's comrades were going to court for assault on a pig. And when he went into that courthouse, and mind you, there was no metal detectors at that time, he walked into that courthouse in Marin County in 1970, in August 7th, and strapped to his body was nothing but chopper. He went inside and stood up right in the middle of the court and said, "All right, gentlemen, I'm taking over now." He proceeded to take the pig's gun, and then he passed those same guns to the comrades who were already going to court from prison for shanking the guard. And he passed those weapons out, and he told the comrades it's time to go. He was with the shit for real, though. A true act of rebellion. And before they left, they grabbed the judge. And they taped a sawed-off shotgun to the judge's neck and said, free George Jackson. Free the Soledad brothers by any means necessary. And he walked out the court and jumped in the van. The pig, not acknowledging no hostages, shot the van up. Of course, Jonathan Jackson didn't give a damn. So that damn judge's head blew off. For sure, though. That Blackwater's like, though. That's what I'm talking about. Because he wasn't playing no game, because he understood the sacrifice that was necessary to free our people. This is what we must understand. True revolution. So he was brutally assassinated. The only brother that was left alive in the van was Russell McGee. And this is why we need to free him. He's been in jail, buried alive under concrete and steel for the freedom and the liberation and the salvation of the black nation. Over 40 years now, done wrong, held in solitary confinement for pushing for us as black people. So we need to back him. We need to push a strong campaign to free all political prisoners and prisoners of war. And the thing is, about the Jonathan Jackson situation, they said the gun that Jonathan used was in Anders Davis' name. So she went underground and was caught in New York. The police charged her with kidnapping and murder for supposedly supplying the gun to Jonathan Jackson. They had looked into her history and seen that she had fell in love with George Jackson, that they were getting married. So they definitely wanted to remove her from leadership. So they tried her and Russell McGee for murder. George Jackson, who was already still facing the murder case, was extremely upset, but he was proud of his young brother for pushing along because he knew the truth. He knew the need for our people to sacrifice, to push for freedom and revolution in the new millennium. And this is what we're talking about today. True freedom. Absolute independence. Because white supremacy has hit us in all forms of life. They have hit us in entertainment, education, economics, labor, law, politics, spirituality, and war. George Jackson taught us that being in prison is like the closest thing to being dead that you can ever experience in this life. George Jackson taught us that being in prison, buried alive under concrete and steel, is like the closest thing to death that you can ever experience in this life. This is why it's like commemorate Black August. Let's go back to George Doe. After his brother was brutally assassinated, his woman was facing murder charges. His comrade was facing murder charges. He was extremely upset. Huey P. Newton was a political prisoner. So he decided to make a bold move a year later in August. August 21st, George Jackson snuck a 9mm into San Quentin on death row. And he took the pig hostage. He drew down the pistol and told the pig the same thing his little brother told him in the court. All right, gentlemen, I'm taking over now. He took the keys on San Quentin death row and began to unlock the gate of all his comrades. And all those comrades came out with bone crushers. And they started moving on the pig, poking the shit out of every motherfucking pig they seen. Bodies on top of bodies were stacked on top of cells. Nothing but these dogs. Fuck dogs ripped apart for constantly oppressing us as a people. They say three pigs were smoked. The other three got their throats slit properly. See, George Jackson was pushing for real. So he ran out on the yard. Once the pigs had surrounded it, began to bust at the tower, getting off at the dog. Of course, they shot him in his head. And he died with his fist up. But that black power life for real, though. George Jackson was with the shit. That's why we are inspired and moved, not only by his actions, but his teachings. Also inspired by the actions and the teachings of the original Black Panther Party for self-defense and the need to push for revolution. That's what we talking about, real independence. Because these demon dogs can't be negotiated with, can't be compromised with. Their whole goal is nothing but extermination, the genocide of black people. Because they look at us still to this day as property, as a goat, a cow, a keg of molasses. I mean, I was just reading the other day what these dogs done us so wrong in the South, in Texas, that we couldn't even smile as we walked down the street. We couldn't even laugh as we walked down the street. The white supremacy dogs were feeling that was intimidating. So they built these little barrels on the side of the road every mile or so. They were called laughing barrels. So if you was walking past white folks smiling or laughing, you would literally have to put your head inside this barrel and laugh. You would literally have to put your head inside this barrel and smile. Because if you was caught smiling, if you was caught laughing, walking down the street next to these white folks, you was being sent to jail. You was being brutally whipped. And look at this type of scale shit they been pushing on us. That's some deep shit. You need to pay attention to what's going on in this racist-ass country. That's a real dope. It's time to stop playing. It's time to push a line for real for the total absolute liberation and salvation of the black nation. We should be tired of getting gunned down like dogs. We should be tired of getting gunned down unarmed like deer. It's not a game. They're moving towards stumbling on us. For real, don't. What was going on with Trump and the rest of this racist U.S. government? We better be serious in the new millennium. We better push for revolution to the fullest. I'm going to stop right there. We're going to go to the lines for a minute. Because this shit pissing me off. It should piss you off, too. Because they're killing us. And we better stand up. We better clean up, wake up, and stand up immediately. It is not a game. Go to the first caller and see who's on the line today. That black power like though. Caller, you're on the line, black power. 510-967. You're on the line. Black power.
Black power to the people. Black power, black power, black power, black power. Black power, power to the people. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Black power.
Black power, yes, sir. This is Staff Sergeant EJ of the Black Lives Liberation Party, New Generation Black Panther Party for Self-Defense representing. And just listen to the very powerful show. Class is going on for Black August. It's important for all of us to commemorate it. It's important for us to pay attention to our heroes, our revolutionary heroes who martyred for us and who set example for a true line of a revolutionary line. So we can fight against the oppressor. And we have to make sure we could always pay attention to that we still today have political prisoners in prison. From the era of the Black Liberation Movement from the 60s and 70s, even till now, new millennium, there's plenty of political prisoners and prisoners of war that exist to the day. New age people who just don't be heard about in the news, that's not propagated. And they still exist, and they also need love, they need support, and it's also for us to break them out as far as make sure we push a line to raise the awareness around these situations and also make sure they get free, the sky's the limit. And pushing these lines, there's many things we can do as far as also help them, support them, get letters, help them get commissary, get the needs that they need inside prison because they're getting the utmost worst kind of conditions that can exist on this planet and in this country. They live in the belly of the beast. Like Elders Cleaver said, who was Minister of Information of the Black Panther Party Self-Defense, when he was in prison, he wrote in his book called Soul on Ice, he stated that letters to people in prison, like the keys that the guards come bring by to the cell doors, can sound like two things. You know, we don't necessarily agree the white Christmas, but he said it could either sound like Christmas bells because they expect to get a letter, or they could just come by just keys. You know, and this is important for us to utilize in these times for people to bust they lead on the papers, also many other ways to communicate to them because this is new millennium, modern day slavery. It is new millennium, modern day slavery. And back in chattel slavery, even during Jim Crow, it was illegal for us to write. It was illegal for us to read. Many of our people were illiterate. Many of our people didn't know how to write or send messages. And also being that we were kidnapped and separated from our family members that we didn't even know at the time. We were being snatched away as babies, snatched away as 15-year-olds, snatched away to different plantations without any communication to our people. And that's how our people are now, isolated, away, alienated, trapped beyond concrete and steel, guards around with guns on them, defenseless. And the only way they can defend ways to be innovative and also devise ways to plan and unify with each other. And it's up to us to make sure we can raise their faith and hope for the people outside. You got to stop being comfortable on the outside and think everything is good. Everything is not good. As you can see, as far as the many deaths and the curse that happened in July, you know, as far as sister Nia Wilson and her sister being attacked, and Nia Wilson being brutally cut, slit in her throat by a vicious white supremacist in Oakland, California. And also what happened in Long Beach also on 2, where a brother named Fred Taft, who was sniped, was rifled down by a white man in Long Beach at a park at a family reunion. And many other instances that goes unheard and not propagated. And it's up for us to make sure that we don't fall victim or fall into the illusion that we are okay in this society, because we are not. Our people are being snatched away and gunned down right now as we speak. So with that said, you know, I have wrote a poem for political prisoners and prisoners of war. And this poem that I wrote, make sure we can keep our head uplifted, know the spirit that runs inside us, same DNA that has in our ancestors who rebelled against oppression and who refused to die as slaves or refused to die as objects and property, who knew their place as human beings is not the place of subservitude or comfortability in the society. This poem that I wrote, the poem that I wrote goes like, they have us locked up, but they can't keep us down. Real soldiers don't fold, too black and proud. Look around, see the reflection of me and my brother fighting for unity amongst us, to isolation by these hate-mongering monsters. The wardens and CEOs don't love us, never will, because there's no empathy in their brain. Sadistic zookeepers who has forced shackles and chains. They fear the panther in me, but it's the human being they're trying to tame. See as 3D shadows with no names. In my mind of escape, a black hole that ripped through this cage. It's not the body they fear, it's the untapped power within our brain. So stay strong and posted, grounded to the graves of our ancestors. Died as humans, refusing to be slaves. Same spirit threads in our DNA. The war ain't over. Look how far we came. Kill us once, set us free. There'll be more of me, resurrected to punish you for your evil deed. Free all politicals and prisoners of war. Black power. That's all I wanted to say, comrades. Keep your head up. Make sure we keep this month in the commemoration and remembrance of our ancestors who are facing the hands of oppression within behind the confines of the in America and the confines of the belly of the beast. Let us not forget, and let's not make this month and many other of our black days or commemoration days for our people a day of celebration and joyfulness. This is a day where we pay homage and remembrance and be humble for the ones who came before us. Black power, that's all I want to say, comrades. Power!
Black power, much respect to Sergeant EJ. Dropping them jewels. Go to the next caller. 510-712. Black power. All power to the people.
Black power, black power, black power, and all power to the people. Can you hear me, sir?
Yes, sir. Black power.
Black power. All power to the people. This is Eda West, Minister of Public Relations of Black Riders Liberation Party. Coming alive out of Oakland, California. Home of the original Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, founded by Huey P. Newton, and Bobby Seale from 1966. I'm calling in response, in collaboration, or in commemoration of this Black Revolutionary History Month known as Black August. I'm calling on behalf of our organization in solidarity with all the political prisoners. Black Riders Liberation Party, we push a hard line for prison abolition because it's the roots of the foundation, the groundation of our organization and our formation coming into existence, facing fascism in a real way, you know what I mean? YTS Gang Prison, 1996. Black Riders Liberation Party was culminated right up in that area, you know, at that time. Coming up after the Rodney King rebellions, at the time people were coming very aware of the history of the Black Panther Party, of the history of rival street tribes such as Bloods and Crips, and their roots of coming up out of the Black Panther Party for self-defense. A few years, about 15 years later, in 2010, I might be wrong with the math, the same situation took place out here in Oakland with the Oscar Grant Rebellions. They took the case with the Oscar Grant Rebellion when Oscar Grant was brutally murdered on a BART station, which is a public transportation out here in Oakland, out here in the Bay Area, in Northern California. He was brutally murdered on New Year's Eve by a pig by the name of Johannes Mezley. So what ended up happening is it was caught on camera, so people seen it all over the world. There was even a movie about it called The Fruitvale Station. So what ended up happening, people seen it all over the world. It caused a lot of controversy. And what ended up happening was, since there was so much controversy, there was a lot of rebellions and a lot of activity, a lot of spontaneous riotous activity. When that took place, it made it to where it kind of created a bias within the judicial system. They took it upon themselves. Talk about the fascist judicial system put it to where they wanted to move the case to Los Angeles because they wanted to buy, or they wanted a partial trial. They thought that if they were to have the case out here in Oakland, that brothers and sisters might run up in the courthouse and tear that motherfucker up. We have a history of this type of situation taking place, you know what I mean? And when we're talking about Black August, you know what I'm saying, we're talking about freedom of political prisoners, there's different, many effective ways of freeing our political prisoners. We could attempt to go like Brother Jonathan Jackson did if we had full community support. We could go ahead and pull the effective methods that was used to liberate our sister Sada Shakur. Or we could put a lot of pressure from the people and push into politics to where the judicial system is punked into freeing our comrades because they know that the sky is the limit and anything is, we're willing to free our comrades at all costs. They'll think twice and they'll be like, okay, well, we might want to let this person go to prevent any other damages that may occur, you know. Because we already understand, it says in the Black Commune Program that we want freedom of all political prisoners and all Black people should be retried by a jury of our own peers. Because that's a God-given right. That's in the Constitution, to have a jury of our own peers, somebody who understands the Black community, somebody who comes from the same ethnic background, comes from the same economic background, comes from the same social background. We're dealing with a situation in Oakland right now. There was a sister last month who was brutally murdered on the BART platform, in the same BART platform that was that the brother Oscar Grant was murdered on. Wait, let me go back. So basically, when go back to the Oscar Grant situation. When the Oscar Grant situation happened, when they took the case down to L.A., the brothers and sisters up here that were following that case went to L.A. and got re-indoctrinated, reawakened with Black Panther culture, coming and encountering with the Black Riders Liberation Party in L.A. at the time. You know, there was physical altercations with the pigs involved with that situation. And seeing that, even out here on live television, it kind of sparked the flame to really kick off and to really kick off for the second time during the day of the verdict when the pig was found guilty only for manslaughter. So we're understanding that the judicial system don't really work in our favor. And this is coming up on the wake of another situation where, like I said, we were talking about earlier, Sister Nia Wilson, when she was murdered on a BART station by a white supremacist Peckerwood, crept up behind her, slit her throat. Her sister tried to intervene. He stabbed her sister. We're talking about Sister Latifah. We're talking about Sister Nia Wilson. These are not just no random sisters, family. I could only go into so much details, but let me let y'all know that these sisters are a family of revolutionary people. You know what I'm saying? This is not no coincidence. This is a strategic hit. This white boy, if you go to his Facebook page, you see, you know, he looked like what you would call a wigger. He got the gold teeth and all of that. The truth is, he ended up going to jail. And when you go to jail, when you go in the prison industrial complex, when you go into the system, you in for a rude awakening of who you really are. It's completely segregated based off of race. And with the rise of the white supremacist uproar due to Donald Trump and his fascist militias, the rise of the militias that support him, and the rise of pan-European white nationalism around the globe, the fear of white genetic annihilation, anti-immigration, Islamophobia, all of these factors into the white supremacist roots that is taking place behind a lot of these murders and a lot of these brutal assassinations of our people. Like I said, Nia Wilson and Latifah Wilson are relatives of revolutionary people. I won't go into details because I want to protect the innocent, you know, because this ain't over. This is not a situation that's over, you know what I'm saying? And it's Black August right now, and the spirit of our ancestors is crying to redeem us, to redeem her, to redeem the spirit, the dignity, the defense, the determination of the Black nation. This situation is a wake-up call. It's a call to arms. It's not no game. In response to the situation that took place on that BART station, the Black Riders Liberation Party had organized a community patrol in the neighborhood. We launched all throughout West Oakland in an area called Ghost Town. In the street, now called Martin Luther King, which used to be called Grove Street back when the Black Panthers used to organize, we were following the bloodstained footsteps of our ancestors marching, stomping all throughout the hood. We have a housing crisis in Oakland, California right now, pretty much all over America, KKK. And there's tent cities under every freeway. Due to a lot of the fascist redlining and gentrification and the displacement, places where Black where was heavily occupied, heavily populated by Black people, there's freeways running all through there. So there's people who live under these freeways that are right where, in the vicinity where the Black Panther Party used to operate at. their main community base called
Black Power. All right, we're going to start right there. We're closing out. Show is short today. Much respect for dropping them jewels on us. Minister of Public Relations, Ida Rep. Tune in next of this month. You're going to get more jewels dropped on you. Much respect to all black people who are listening in. We're going to close out right there. Black power and all power to the people.
I won't deny you. I'm a straight rider. You don't want to fuck with me. Got the police busting at me. But you can't.